The human voice is indeed music to my ears. And if I found myself heading to a desert island and I had a choice between bringing with me guitar music, cello music, piano music, French horn music, harp music, or to take the human voice singing unaccompanied, I know which one I take. The human voice is, for me, phenomenal music. It's easy enough to say that in the context of great, great singers. But what about the human voice in other contexts? Here is something that I'd like to tell you a story about. I once went for a job interview in London Transport. And John Ingleton was head director of personnel. And in the middle of the interview, he started to recite this piece. And I was totally flummoxed. But when I went home and listened to it, I got a great kick. See what you think. Stanley Holloway, The Lion and Albert.
The famous seaside place called Blackpool, that's noted for fresh air and fun. And Mr. and Mrs. Ramsbottom went there with young Albert, their son. A grand little lad was young Albert, all dressed in his best, quite a swell, with a stick with an horse's head handle, the finest that Woolworths could sell. They didn't think much to the ocean, the waves, they was fiddling and small. There was no wrecks and nobody drowned. Fact, nothing to laugh at all. So seeking for further amusement, they paid and went into the zoo, where they'd lions and tigers and camels, and old ale and sandwiches too. There were one great big lion called Wallace. His nose was all covered with scars. He lay in a somnolent posture with the side of his face on the bars. Now Albert had heard about lions, how they was ferocious and wild. To see Wallace lying so peaceful, well, it didn't seem right to the child. So straightway the brave little fella, not showing a morsel of fear, took his stick with his horse's head handle and shoved it in Wallace's ear. You could see that the lion didn't like it, for giving a kind of a roll, he pulled Albert inside the cage with him and swallowed the little lad whole. Then Pa, who had seen the occurrence and didn't know what to do next, said, "Mother, yon lion's it, Albert." And Mother said, "Eee, I am vexed." Then Mr. and Mrs. Ramsbottom, quite rightly, when all's said and done, complained to the animal keeper that the lion had eaten their son. The keeper was quite nice about it. He said, "What a nasty mishap. Are you sure that it's your boy he's eaten?" Pa said, "Am I sure? There's his cap." The manager had to be sent for. He came and he said, "What's to do?" Pa said, "Yon lion's at Albert, and him in his Sunday clothes too." Then Mother said, "Right's right, young fella. I think it's a shame and a sin for a lion to go and eat Albert, and after we'd paid to come in." The manager wanted no trouble. He took out his purse right away, saying how much to settle the matter. Pa says, "What do you usually pay?" But Mother had turned a bit awkward when she thought where our Albert had gone. She said, "No, someone's got to be summoned." So that was decided upon. Then off they went to the police station in front of the magistrate chap. They told him what happened to Albert and proved it by showing his cap. The magistrate gave his opinion that no one was really to blame. And he said that he hoped the Ramsbottoms would have further sons to their name. At that, Mother got proper blazing. "And thank you, sir, kindly," said she. "What, waste all our lives raising children to feed ruddy lions? Not me."
Well, just to let you know, Albert did come back. And that's another story. Now,
Sabrina Lee.
Well, here's another example of the human voice, unaccompanied in this case. A bit of what's called Sean Nós singing in the Irish tradition. Another reason why I think the human voice is music to my ears. And I'll finish now with nothing better than a piece of Shakespeare from Romeo and Juliet.
Soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the est, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who is already sick and pale with grief that thou, her maid, art far more fair than she. Be not her maid, since she is envious. Her vestal livery is but sick and green, and known but fools to wear it. Cast it off. It is my lady. Oh, it is my love. Oh, that she knew she were. She speaks, yet she says nothing. What of that? Her eye discourses. I will answer it. I am too bold. It is not to me she speaks. Two of the fairest stars in all the heaven, having some business to entreat her eyes to twinkle in their spheres till they return. What if her eyes were there? They in her head. The brightness of her cheek would shame those stars as daylight doth a lamp. Her eyes in heaven would through the airy region stream so bright that birds would sing and think it were not night. See how she leans her cheek upon her hand. Oh, that I were a glove upon that hand, that I might touch that cheek.
I may.
She speaks, oh, speak again, bright angel. For thou art as glorious to this night, being o'er my head, as is the winged messenger of heaven, unto the white, upturned, wandering eyes of mortals, that fall back to gaze on him, when he bestrides the lazy, puffing clouds, and sails upon the bosom of the air.
Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo? Deny thee, father, and refuse the name. Or if thou wilt not be but sworn, me love, and I'll no longer be a Capulet.
Shall I hear more? Shall I speak of this?
'Tis but the name that is me enemy. Thou art thyself, though not a Montague. What's Montague? It is nor hand, nor foot, nor arm, nor face, nor any other part belonging to a man. Oh, be some other name. What's in a name? That which we call a rose, be any other word, would smell as sweet. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, retain that dear perfection which he owes without that title. Romeo, daff the name, and for the name which is no part of thee, take all myself.
I take thee at the word. Call me but love, and I'll be new baptized. Henceforth I never will be Romeo.
What man art thou that thus bescreened in night so stumblest on me counsel?
By a name, I know not how to tell thee who I am. My name, dear saint, is hateful to myself because it is an enemy to thee. Had I it written, I would tear the word.
My ears have yet not drunk 100 words of that tongue's uttering, yet I know the sound. Art thou not Romeo and a Montague?
Never, fair saint, if ever thee dislike.
How camest thou hither? Tell me, and wherefore? The orchard walls are high and hard to climb, and the place death, considering who thou art, if any of my kinsmen find thee here.
With love's light wings did I o'erperch these walls. For stony limits cannot hold love out, and what love can do, that dares love attempt. Therefore, the kinsmen are no stop to me.
If they do see thee, they will murther thee.
It's no wonder that for me, the human voice is the most glorious instrument. And I don't feel alone in this experience. As far as I can see, the human voice is music to every human's ears. Thank you very much for listening to day 7 of October 17. I look forward to the rest of the month of October.